this is Roy Lilly. New year, I'm thinking of a new career. I guess I'll have to rule out astronaut or Taylor Swift's bad carrier. But no, there is still something. Think tanks. It was the Wilson government between 64 and 1970 that gave us special advisers, and think tanks have spawned from there. The Institute of Economic Affairs, the Centre for Policy Studies, the Adam Smith Institute, Institute for Public Policy Research, Demos, the Young Foundation, Centre for Social Justice, New Economics Foundation, they all can only survive if there is an unhealthy intimacy with government. They segue from thinking to talking, but for whom? Independent analysis is becoming rare. Money for old rope? Well, the paywalled Financial Times revealed just before Christmas that the Blair Institute, which is a think tank, is on course to making $140 million in revenues last year, advising governments around the world. There's a dearth of people thinking about the NHS. Most of our think tanks are muse bars, content with commenting on HMG's press releases, publishing graphs telling us how badly things are going. NHS providers have turned into a branch of Dignitas. The Confed is preoccupied with writing Labour's manifesto. The Nuffs and the Kings might as well merge and save a few quid. They say pretty much the same thing. By thinking, I mean proper thinking, defining what comes next, reflecting, innovating, creating new ideas and solutions, most important, figuring out what worked and what didn't. Blair's brain boxes have had a think about the NHS, and I linked to their report this morning. Guess what? They think it would be a good idea to stop people getting sick in the first place. Look, the dogs in the street know that. Even Silly Boy Streeting knows that. It doesn't take a brain the size of Birmingham to think that. We know sickness and illness are inextricably linked to the way we live our lives and where. According to the World Health Organization, 60% of related factors to individual health are correlated to lifestyle. Add to that the ability to slice and dice data, we can probably predict a significant percentage of who will get sick, with what, and what's to do about it. The raison of Blair's case, three things. An estimated 2.6 million people are now out of work due to sickness. Number two, a record 104.9 million working days are lost to long-term health conditions every year. And thirdly, we're now spending 40% of the NHS budget treating preventable diseases. Blair's thinking: we need a world-class disease treatment and disease prevention organisation, and he calls it Protect Britain. That includes health screening and preemptive services across a range of diseases. And I quote, ensure Britain is at the forefront of procurement by adopting a model akin to the vaccine task force set up during COVID, advisory services and social prescribing, incentivising exercise and healthier diets, enabling citizens to change their lifestyle and reduce their long-term disease risks. Well, who'd argue with that? Blair says Protect Britain should start small, but be given the power to add more preventative services to its portfolio as its budget grows. That's where the thinking stops. Quote, budget grows. What budget and from which pocket? Blair thinkers, I can't resist calling them blinkers, explain, and I quote, they'll fund it by saving on healthcare costs by offsetting future treatment costs. Groan. Robbing Peter to pay Paul is not a plan, not a strategy, it's a fantasy. In an NHS where a pizza boy on a bike can get you quicker than an ambulance, waiting lists is measured by time with stretches beyond doomsday, where if NHS IT were a car, it'd be a Lada, and ICBs are drowning in debt. And the blinkers' final kiss of death, their big idea, Protect Britain should report into the, wait for it, Secretary of State for Health. No. Can you imagine the budget shifting, never mind the cost shifting? In 2004, good old Derek Wanless, remember him, wrote a report called Securing Good Health for the Whole Population. He said, quote, the major drivers of public health have been recognised since the 1970s. And here we are, 20 years on from his report, and you could list success on a fag packet. Using data to forecast preventative vaccines and therapeutics to keep us well and healthy is a no-brainer. But Blair's 500-word report mentions funding only once. And that is only in the context of offsetting future treatment costs. The blinkers are blind to practicality, how to fund the running costs until and if savings emerge and over what period. Something that kills so many initiatives, dual running costs, or which bits of the NHS budget shall we cut to fund this bit? Will other departments, business and trade, science and technology, culture, media, sport, education, environment, food, net zero, farming, work and pensions, housing, levelling up, will they cough up? No. They all have skin in the game. They should, but they won't. Funding is not the same as investing. They come from different places and take us to different destinations. Don't show me innovation. Don't show me savings. Don't tell me about offsetting. Show me investment. Till then, thank you.